This morning I want us to think about the words that we have heard together and read together in verses 1 and 2 of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How can anyone become right before God, before this holy and just God who will judge everyone righteously? How can we have peace with God, to not be punished for our sins and offenses, to be at peace with Him? The Apostle Paul, in this letter to the Church of Rome, he spends much time dealing with man's need. He shows that man has a great need. The greatest thing for man is not material things, physical things, but his need is a spiritual one. And the greatest need is salvation. And so he explains these things in great details. He explains to these people in Rome and to us today that human beings are sinners by nature. So he says all are under sin in Romans 3 and 9, or the words that the children know off by heart, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in chapter 3 and verse 23. Even of the Jewish people, his own people, he wrote, the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to write and said, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. And he explains that we all are abiding, we are living under God's wrath and anger, that we are judged, we are condemned by God's perfect standard. And here we learn that nothing associated with religion, works, the law, or with various rituals can ever provide salvation to humanity. So we see, if you were to study this book, you will see that we are totally dependent upon Jesus Christ, and totally, we could say, dependent upon faith in the person and the death, the work of Jesus Christ, to bring us into a right relationship with the Lord God. It all comes down to realizing that it is not what we do that makes the difference in the saving of our souls. It's not following certain things and say, oh, well, I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done that. No. It is about who we know and who we trust. Is it Christ alone? When we know Jesus Christ, then we have salvation, because He has promised it. Those who know Him, He says, I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you are lost, that is our need this morning. If you are unsure of where we are standing, maybe you don't know where you are. You want to be a true Christian, a child of God. What is your need? You need Christ as well. He that hath the Son hath life, the Scripture says. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is a spiritual life. Not merely a physical life. Life with God, eternal life, a life that is free from any kind of condemnation, a life that has peace with God. Now, in these verses, the Apostle Paul shows what faith in Jesus Christ brings to the soul of the sinner. And if you are a child of God, this should cause you to rejoice, because even the Apostle Paul says that because of these truths, being justified by faith freely in Jesus Christ, then it says, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That is why the believer rejoices. That is why, in the midst of all the troubles and the fires and the floods of this life, we can still have cause to be thankful and praise God. But oh, that some of us who have never really praised God and rejoiced in God would seek Him with all our hearts, that He would give us the joy of salvation. The first thing that I want us to think about is what the Apostle says concerning our change of position when we trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our change of position. And so he says, therefore, being justified by faith. When we are born, we are born in a state of sin. It doesn't matter if you have been brought up in a Christian home or a non-Christian home, like me. All are in this state of sin. And we do sin, day by day. Boys and girls, you do all kinds of things that grieves your heart, grieve your parents' hearts. And you know it is wrong. But you still would do it. Adults do a similar thing. They would still do it. The issue is not about not knowing what is right and wrong, because our consciences, to some degree, tells us, shows us. But we seem to naturally do those things. It's part of who we are, sinners, sin. And no one of us can get away from it. No amount of education and no amount of counseling or anything like that will enable us to get away from sin. It just sticks to us all the time. It's not just sticks to us outwardly, but it's within us. And so we are totally in that condition. We talk about total depravity. And what sometimes people do is that we try to cover it up, don't we? Sinners would try to cover up the fact that they would do things wrong. And we don't want people to see us in a bad light. You do it. I do it. It's a natural thing that we do. And then those people who don't cover up their sins, we don't want to sit with them. We don't want to relate to them. We won't go to their house and so on. But at the same time, we are simply good at covering them, those very things. But my friends, the Lord, the scripture says, has eyes that runs to and fro everywhere. He sees the hearts. He sees the inner chambers and recesses of our souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, because of this, the whole world, he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he says that the unbelieving world, the people who do not have this salvation that God has brought about, we are condemned already. But then when faith comes, faith in Jesus Christ, not a general faith of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke to these Jews who had a general belief in God. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. We are not talking about just general belief that somebody says, well, I have faith in God. I do believe in God. But no, we are talking about this real, vital, saving faith in Jesus Christ. If we don't have that, we are condemned. But when that faith comes to our souls, we see our need, and so we trust wholly in Christ. And what He has done, we believe. He died for me. I now see it. He went to the cross, not for someone else, but for me. For me. And when our whole being is awakened to that, to our need to be saved from this sin and condemnation, when we believe in Him, that He actually died for us, then God changes our status from condemned to what the Apostle Paul says, justified. Therefore, being justified by faith. So here is justification, the teaching of justification. We are declared righteous. Our position is declared. Paul says that we who believe, who have believed, have been justified. It's a word that many do not fully understand. Basically, it means to count someone righteous. It means to reckon, to account, to judge, to treat, or to look upon someone as righteous. Not that they are made righteous, but they're declared righteous. They're counted as righteous. So they are not made righteous. There would be some people who have a wrong idea and say, well, you must be made righteous yourself. You have to begin to do good works for you to be justified. That is wrong. That's not what the Apostle Paul teaches here. It's by faith in Jesus Christ we are justified. God declares us righteous. We are treated like we were righteous. Not that we are, but we are treated as being righteous. I hope you understand that. We are all sinners. And this is the thing, you see. Some people would look at a Christian who loves the Lord, and yet they have various sins and they fail in certain things. I say, well, look at that. The issue is that we are all sinners. We all fail. We all break God's law. But we still are in this body of sin, Paul says. Justification, being counted as righteous, does not mean that God is not aware of our sins. God knows of our sins, is aware of our sins. It doesn't mean that in spite of our sins, or I should say, it does mean that in spite of our sins, God treats us as though we were not sinners. He treats us like His Son, Jesus Christ. Even though we are unrighteous and wicked, God treats us as though we are righteous and pure as He Himself is. That's what justification is. God counting us, declaring us as righteous. How is this possible? Is it possible at all? Well, the Bible says this, therefore being justified by faith. Yes, justification is possible. The Lord can declare us righteous. It happens because when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid for all of our sins, all of the sins of the people who would trust in Him. He died for them all. Nothing was left unpardoned because Jesus Christ paid that great price Himself. And then when we receive Him as our Savior, God gives us the righteousness of Christ. Christ is all righteousness. And He gives all of that to us. It's like you can think about an account that you have with a bank. And you're all in red. And you cannot pay it. It's not that it is your bank account has nothing in it. It is red. It means it's in minus. You are in debt to the bank. You owe the bank things. And then what Christ does, through His death, He gives us. It doesn't just bring our account to zero, but He brings it higher. All of His righteousness becomes ours. Justification doesn't mean that we are perfect. It means that God sees us as though we were. Imagine a man that is on trial. A man has gone to court. He has murdered someone. And rightly so, he's been caught and he is now in court, having to answer for what he has done. And the prosecution knows that this man is guilty. The defendant knows that this man is guilty. Even the judge knows that this man is guilty. And the man himself knows he is guilty. But the jury finds him not guilty. He's declared not guilty. Even though everyone in that courtroom knows that the man is guilty of murder, he's treated as an innocent person because he's declared by the jury as innocent. And that doesn't happen in the courts, I trust, of this world. And it doesn't happen in the way that I've said in the court of God. Someone has to pay the price. And Jesus Christ has done. It is on the ground, on the account of what Christ has done, that we who would murder God
in our hearts, would not want to believe Him and trust Him and reject Him, day by day, Jesus Christ comes and says, I pay the price for them, for all of these My people. And when we come to trust in Him, all of His righteousness becomes ours. Then we are counted as not guilty, to be set free, to be at peace with God. We know we are guilty. All of us would say that. God knows we are guilty. Jesus Christ knows we are guilty. The Holy Spirit knows we are guilty. Other people around us know that we are guilty. But because of what Christ has done for us and by us trusting in Him, in what He has done, God says, not guilty. I will pardon them. I will give to them the righteousness of My Son. That's what it is. That's what justification is, being declared to be righteous. And so our position is described here. Therefore, being justified by faith. And how does this justification come about? By faith, it says. And when you have faith, do you earn it? Do we deserve it? All we do is to take God at His word as He is being preached in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and taking that gospel of Christ that is freely offered to us, and we simply trust in that. About who Christ is, the Son of God. And we believe in His work, what He has done. He lived that perfect life instead of us. He died the death for us. We simply believe that with all our hearts. And then God justifies us by that faith that we trust. Faith is like arms that you take hold on something. That's all it is. You don't, you do not earn anything because of your arms, but the fact that you have reached out to the Lord, trusting in Him, called upon His name to save you. That's what it is. And I am grateful that salvation is the product of faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith alone, in Christ alone. If it relied upon your ability, my ability to perform, then all of us would be lost. If it required me to keep a list of rules perfectly, then I would be lost. You would be lost. If it required me to be a good person, then I would be lost. But thank God, by faith in Jesus Christ, sinners are justified. Now, where do you stand? Where are you, my friend? Are you a justified sinner? Have you come to put your trust in Christ? Do you sense it? Do you feel it? That I must be saved. I must be this person that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Or I'm lost. I'm undone. And then the second thing is that of not simply our position is described here. The change of our position from being guilty to not guilty. Now our possessions change as well. When we are justified, our possessions, the things we have. Look at what we have. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So in these verses, the Apostle Paul lists for us some of the benefits of justification, some of the blessings of being saved, and God reckoning to us Christ and His righteousness. Because we are considered as righteous by God, there are certain things that belong to all who are saved by Jesus Christ from their sins and from their guilt. Do you have these things? I ask you. And if you are a child of God, you should be praising God and rejoicing in God that you possess these things. It doesn't depend on how you feel. It doesn't depend on your performance even now. But it is what Christ has done. That is what counts. And still, the child of God lives by faith.
He walks by faith, not by sight. And these possessions are very precious and should never be taken for granted. But we should meditate on them, think on them daily. Allow them to be the catalyst, as it were, for rejoicing in the Lord. We possess acceptance. In the latter part of verse 1, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the apostle, salvation brings with it peace with God. And this is a truth that can hardly be understood by our mortal minds, to have peace with God. You see, every lost person, the Bible says, is enemy of God. It is the truth. It may sound harsh, but it is the truth. Our mind is at enmity. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the worldly mind is at enmity against God. We don't want Him in our lives. We only want Him when it suits us. When things go wrong in our lives, then we will have a little bit we want of God. And then the rest of the time we want Him out of our lives. We want to forget about Him. But when that person realizes this, turns to Jesus Christ by faith, God declares an end to all of that hostility, all of that hatred. That's why the child of God loves to worship the Lord, loves to read the Scriptures, loves to pray, loves to be with others who love the same Savior. Our hearts change. Our desires change. Our views change. God has declared peace for us. And has given us peace. He brings us then, by faith in Jesus Christ, into a right relationship with Himself. And all of it, it has cost the Lord so much for all of these things for us to have. And that person who comes to faith in Christ, he immediately enjoys spiritual peace with God. However, he may, the feeling of it, the progress of it in his heart may be slow. And yet his standing with God is one of peace. That is how God sees it. He most likely will not always be at peace with himself. Oh no, the fight begins. He will not certainly be at peace with the world around him, with people around him who are ungodly. But that man, that woman, that child is at peace with God, and that is what that matters. Do you have peace? Do you have peace with God? This peace that we are talking about? What does this mean? It means God's wrath, when we talk about peace with God, it means that God's wrath has turned away. God is no longer condemning those who trust in His Son. Paul says in verse 9, now, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The wrath of God is turned away. This peace means that God is satisfied. He's satisfied with all that Jesus Christ has done. So there's peace between us and God because Christ has paid. And so we read in another letter in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And He, that is Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. That means, that word propitiation, it means to appease God's wrath. The wrath of God is now appeased. He's no longer angry with us because His wrath and justice has been satisfied. This peace, it means that the old enemies are now reconciled. It's talking of reconciliation. And so the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Are you reconciled with God? There are some expressions that I've heard people use over the years. It involves things like this. People say, have you made your peace with God? And I read about an old saint who was dying, and he was visited by a friend who asked him, "Have you made your peace with God?" And the man replied and said, "No, I haven't." And so the friend said, "What? Your time is short. You must make your peace with God." And the man turned around and said, "I cannot make peace with God. But God has made peace with me through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's God who makes peace. It's God who initiates it all. It begins with God and not with us." And having made peace, Paul says in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, it's Jesus Christ who has made peace by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. We don't make peace with God. You can't go ahead and say, "I'm going to make peace with God." No, you must seek the mercy of God through Christ. He has made peace with us at the cross. Now, what we do, this is where faith comes in. We must trust, we must accept at the word of God. And then peace comes. Then God gives peace. And this is the first permanent blessing every child of God receives at the very instant of salvation. And they may not necessarily sense all of it, the extent of it. But again and again, the Lord proves it. His heart, the Spirit bears witness with His Spirit that He's a child of God. That we are accepted by God. Not because of us, but because of who He is. So a child of God, when he's asked, "Well, how are you at peace with God?" He wouldn't say, "Because of what I am doing. Because of what I have done all these years in church." No, because of what Christ has done all those years ago on the cross for me. And so we are at peace with Him. Do you have that peace? Then as well, he says we possess access to God. In verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace. Well, the sinner doesn't have access in his natural being. He's separated from God. But the person who comes by faith, he has now access to God. And that word access is a legal term when a person would come before a king, would have access in the presence of the king. Sin separates, but this justification by faith connects and gives access to God. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this right to enter into the very presence of God of heaven. Without fear, we have access to our Heavenly Father. And so we pray humbly but with boldness, the apostle says. And this must have been a radical idea for those who were reading this letter of the Apostle Paul in those days. Maybe we take it for granted, but for them it was a very radical, different idea that they would have had in their minds. Most of them came from a religious background that demanded that a respectful distance be maintained between the worshipper and God. You think for a minute regarding the temple worship. The Gentiles were restricted to the outer court of the temple. And if they went any further in, they could be executed. You remember the Apostle Paul and how he was accused for bringing a Gentile in there. And women were also restricted. There was the court of women. And then there was the holy place where only the priests could minister. And beyond this, there was the Holy of Holies. And it could be entered in once a year on the Day of the Atonement. And the high priest couldn't enter in without blood that was shed of that animal, of the lamb. And the message of all that these people were used to, was this: keep your distance. Keep your distance. Keep away. Have a respect. Distance from God. But what is Paul saying? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What a wonderful thing this is. It is like a story I've heard of a little boy outside of Buckingham Palace.
And he wanted to go in and he wanted to see the king. As many years ago, he wanted to see the king. And the guards wouldn't let him. And the boy stood outside crying. And this man came and said, "Why are you crying for?" And the boy said, "They won't let me to see the king." And so this man said, "Hold my hand, I'll take you to the king. Don't mind the guards, just come with me." And this man took him through the gates and to see the king. Well, he was the Prince of Wales, the son of the king. And this is the same thing in terms of having access to God through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So we have access and we possess assurance as well. We don't have the time to look into this in great detail, but look at it. It says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand, he says. He's not unsure about this matter. We are standing upon this. I know that I am saved, he says. I know that the grace of God has reached me. And I am one of the Lord's children. That the Lord is keeping me. That I have his peace. And I'm standing on this ground. I'm justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And what a thing this is, my friends, to be sure of this. Get the grace wherein we stand. That word stand, it carries with it the sense of permanence. The sense of being firmly fixed and immovable. If you come to Christ and trust in Jesus Christ, then you cannot be lost. Your position will be one of standing upon that rock, Jesus Christ. Absolutely secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever may come in your life, in your soul, Christ keeps you. You don't keep yourself. Christ keeps you. So there is, in other words, in this is eternal security as believers. We have absolute assurance here. And assurance hereafter. As you see. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God. That is the hope of the believer in Jesus Christ. And that is why we can say now that we are as sure of heaven as if we had already been there for 10,000 years. Now the believer can be sure. Do you have that assurance? Now some would say, object to this. And say, but if a man might believe and go on in a wicked life, in a sinful life, then what is that? Well, if they do, the answer is this. If they do, that person, that man, that woman is not justified, but is being self-deceived. There would be people who say, well, you Christians say that you must believe in Jesus Christ, but then doesn't that leave that matter open, that to live just the way you were before? No. God does all of these things. He changes people from within. He gives them peace. He gives them new eyes, new sight. Faith brings this new birth. And new birth brings in the heart a love for God. And when we love God, we obey Him. We are not hypocrites. And this is where good works come in. We have good works. We demonstrate these things not because we want to earn certain points with God, but because of what Christ has done. It's showing how much we love Him. It is finished, Jesus said on the cross. It is all finished. All that was required for us to be right with God and have peace with God was finished upon the cross. Well, may each one of you seek the Lord then this morning by faith in Jesus Christ and then say, I am justified because of what the Lord is saying here. I'm justified by God, not by myself. I don't justify myself. The only thing I would say about myself is I'm a sinner in need of salvation, but God justifies me because I trust in Christ and He has promised good things for me. May the Lord help us then to seek by faith His Son and know the joy of salvation. Amen.